Here are a few quick tips from CHAD, Children and Adults with ADHD. Parenting children with ADHD can be a challenge. Here are a few tips you can try today. Praise your child more than criticize. Consistency is key and helps with remaining focused. Seek support. Remember, it takes a village and you don't have to do it alone. Get help from CHAD. Quick tips are brought to you by CHAD, Children and Adults with ADHD. Get more tips on CHAD.org. Visit, join, get involved.
This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
All right, everybody, welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and Attention Coach Jeff Copper, and we got a great show for you tonight. Boredom and parenting is as hard as it gets, particularly if you have a child with ADHD and you have ADHD. And with us in our virtual studio is one of my favorite guests, Caroline McGuire, who is sometimes guest host, sometimes co-host. Tonight she's going to be kind of both of those and actually kind of a lived experience because she has ADHD and her daughter does, her family does, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But I'm really excited about this content because I don't think that you're going to find anybody else talking about this really anywhere in what we're doing, and because after all, we're Attention Talk Radio. We pay attention to attention, and that's what we're going to do. Real quickly, tonight is Wednesday, April the 13th in the year 2016 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Every time I read this, it blows me away. 2016, we've been doing this for, geez, 5.5 years. It's hard to believe every Wednesday night for that long a period of time. But anyway, we're excited to do this. Matter of fact, I got an email from two listeners today that were kind of stoked with regard to a show we did the other day. And I want to tell you those emails are very meaningful. They're very, very motivational. So before we get into the meat of the content real quickly, we have been doing this for 5.5 years and I think 3 years on Attention Talk Video. And as a result, we got 450 interviews, actually over that, interviews that are out there with over 210 hours of programming. And it's just, that's just massive. I mean, you just take 6 months off and just listen to me talk, which you really wouldn't want to do. So to shortcut some of this stuff, if you go to digcoaching.com/ATR, you can download a list of our – it says top 10, but it's really my top 20 favorite shows and with links to that stuff. And, I mean, it's powerful stuff, so I encourage you to check that out. But really the big deal right now is if you're anywhere in the Virginia area or you're a coach or you want to learn about coaching, you need to go to the ADHD Professionals Conference. International Professional Conference that's hosted by the ADHD Coaches Organization. And what this means is every year the ADHD Coaches Organization has had a conference for coaches. They're expanding this. It's not really just for coaches anymore. It's just to learn about that coaching paradigm. It's being held in Reston, Virginia on April the 28th through May the 1st. If you're professionally want to learn more, go to that. You can check out and register at ADHDProfessionalConference.com. I am flying in the 28th. Caroline, you're going to be there, what, the 27th, right?
I am going to be there in the, well, no, the 28th. I lied. I can't do dates. The 28th. I'm going to be there on the 28th.
All right. So she's going to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to be there. Go there. Come up. If you see us, come say hi. We love it. We absolutely love it when people come up with conferences and introduce themselves and actually give us some feedback on what they like about the show, what they don't like about the show, favorite shows, et cetera. So Caroline started with us after last year's conference. So hopefully if you see her, go run up to her because I know that she's going to love it. Real quick, a little bit about Caroline. I said that she's sometimes guest host, sometimes co-host, and tonight's a little bit of a lived experience because she gets this stuff because she's a professional and she's part of the world. But I want you to know she's a certified as a professional coach for children with ADHD and their families. She focuses on family coaching, which is really important. She's getting ready to release a new book and a new coaching class at the ADHD Coach Academy that's focused on teaching people or coaching the family. She's earned her ACCG from the ADD Coach Academy and her PCC from the International Coach Federation. Because of those designations, we're actually both on faculty. We actually, believe it or not, we actually teach other people to coach this stuff. Kind of crazy as that is. Let's see. She got her Bachelor's of Education at Lesley University. And let's see. I'm going to kind of jump through this. She's a national speaker. Now my dyslexia is skipping in because I lost my place. I'm going to add lib this, Caroline. Previously, she used to work with Dr. Ned Hallowell in his office in Sudbury, Massachusetts. She's ADHD. She's had a lot of experience in that. So, Caroline, welcome to the show as always.
Thanks so much, Jeff. And I'm dyslexic too. So I would be – I always struggle when I lose my place. My daughter always feels free to comment when I read Harry Potter. I do all the voices, by the way. I'm very, very good. But the comment that she constantly makes is, you read that sentence already, Mom. So it's tough. Kids are the best critics.
Well, you know, they're the best critics, and kids are so brutally honest. You know, that the old Art Linkletter thing and the kids say the darndest thing. It's really pretty funny how such truth and honesty kind of comes out from them when you're working with them. So
absolutely.
Caroline, you've worked with a lot. You have ADHD and you have a family with it. I've coached it a lot. And one of the things that I really want to talk about, I talk a lot of presentations nationally about boredom and how those with ADHD are more susceptible to boredom and they refuse to be bored. And they're more susceptible to something that's called agitated boredom because there's different kinds of boredom. And the definition of agitated boredom, I think, is really kind of cool. It's the physical discomfort. And I want to emphasize it. It's like it's physically uncomfortable when you have agitated boredom, which is a lack of external stimulation, but physically uncomfortable. Where you're motivated to escape the plight. And it's funny because I was given a presentation on boredom at the last CHAD conference in New Orleans. And I was talking about this and a woman came up to me at the end of it. And she says, I get it now. I said, what? She said, a month ago, I got called to the principal's office and my son came in and the principal said, hey, Johnny, what happened? He said, I don't know. I was sitting there. I was bored. And that's all he said. Then I found out that he mooned the class. And he had forgotten about that part. And it was kind of funny because she was like, he was so physically uncomfortable. He was motivated to get the rush. And he just dropped trowel in front of the class. And next thing he knew, he was in the principal's office. He didn't even know what he did. And I'm saying that because those with ADHD just kind of can't be bored. And when you get into the family dynamic, particularly if you're a parent and a stay-at-home mom, when you think about what you have to do, laundry and dishes and diapers and bottles and carpool and there's really nothing exciting about that. And I think many adults with ADHD, particularly stay-at-home moms, really struggle with this. So I've said that. So Caroline, you want to comment on that and share some of your thoughts?
Yeah, this is something I've struggled with for a long time. I've now kind of made my peace with the fact that I can't be bored and that some of the, it's not even just the tasks, some of the engagement and the routine with kids, and kids need routines, and I do believe that. And some of that is just really boring. And in preparation for the show, I talked to a bunch of moms this week who are clients, and they all said the same thing, that they too struggle with, the way it's kind of like always the same. You know, people talk about when you have little kids, especially, that it's one of those things that it's the longest day. It's Groundhog Day. You know, it's always the same, yet it's this fast paced, hectic, my son took this afternoon, he's 23 months old. I was on the phone with someone. I turned around. He took every spoon out of the drawer because he was dipping them in peanut butter, right? So then you have to clean up the mess. It's just, it's like nonstop, yet it's always kind of mundane. I think, you know, I used to really beat myself up over the fact that I just can't lay on the ground and play. I can't really just sit and play trains with a 23-month-old because he doesn't really play. And I've kind of made peace with it, but I know a lot of mothers and fathers feel really guilty about the fact that we just, it's not enough stimulation.
So I tell you what, it's a little bit earlier than we normally go to break, but I want to kind of come back and start telling stories about specific situations so that people understand how this manifests, because I think many of them can identify with it. And you have a story that you just kind of alluded to, and I've got a couple other stories to do that. So Caroline, let's go to break and come back, and let's just talk about, when we come back, as a parent, just spending time with your kid, particularly the younger ones, and the nature of some of the things that they do. So anyway, we'll come back and hit that real quickly. Everybody, you need to learn more about Caroline by going to her website at necoaching.com. And Caroline, you've got a new book coming out pretty soon. When is the release date, and do you have a working title for it?
It's called Why Will No One Play With Me, and it's a parent's guide to teach parents how to coach their kids through social issues. And it should be fall 2016.
All right. So if you're listening to this over the summer or whatever, like, mark the calendar and go back to it. If you're listening to the fall, go check it out at her website at necoaching.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an EDGE Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more, or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio with Caroline McGuire, who's sometimes a guest host, sometimes co-host. Tonight she's doing the lived experience, and we're talking about what it's like to have ADHD in an ADHD family and how boredom can really be a problem. And before the break, we were kind of alluding to the notion of spending time with your kids and playing. And Caroline, I cannot tell you, I'd have to say 30, 40, maybe 50 people I've coached before with ADHD will come in and talk to me about, they start to feel guilty because there was this time that they were supposed to be spending with their children, particularly the younger ones, and they couldn't do it. And they felt like this absolutely horrible, horrible parent. And I'm going to share a story because I think you have some too. And one guy in particular, it was like his 3-year-old on a Saturday wanted to play chutes and ladders. And she kept changing the rules. And he witnessed that he wasn't on the carpet with her for more than 20 seconds before he was up doing something else. And he was like, how come I can't just be with her? And it goes back to that definition of boredom, is that he was physically uncomfortable on the floor, just with the la 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 that he'd spring up and he'd start doing something. And it was funny because I was like, you know, dude, this is not your soul. This is not your character. This is not your heart. This is not who you are. This is the biology. And we started talking about, well, what did he do? And I said, well, you need to begin to find things that engage her and you. And it was funny because like a week later, he told this story how he was out teaching her how to plant tomato plants. And as he described the story, he actually acknowledged that, well, actually, I thought I was teaching her how to plant tomato plants, but she was actually just rooting in the mud. And I said, exactly. It doesn't really matter that you were there for completely different things, but you're spending time with your daughter. And I think that's really, really, really important, because if you begin to look at the environment and how you can do it so as a joint interest, you can kind of connect with that I'm a horrible parent because I can't sit and play chutes and ladders on the carpet with my 3-year-old if nothing more, I want parents to walk away and not beat themselves up. So you want to comment on that? And I think you've got actually a story to tell that's similar to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to comment. I mean, I think honestly, I did used to beat myself up a lot, and I was an ADHD coach at the time too. So I knew about boredom. I knew about agitated boredom, but I don't think I recognized in myself that this was the genesis of the inability to sit on the floor and play, or, you know, sit outside or even go to parks, you know, by myself with my kids for endless hours. You know, if you have a kid, you know, they never want to leave. I couldn't do it. And I really beat myself up. Snow days are torturous for me. We have snow here in Massachusetts, and you know, you're trapped inside. Sometimes the power goes out. And you know, it can be fun if your whole family's together, but you know, a lot of times it's just endless, and there've been 100 of them. So you're kind of tired of it. And you go to play the board games, and like your client said, the kids change the rules. And I just used to beat myself up, but now I had this realization that I do better, and we spend time when we have sort of missions. And what I found was that my daughter's sort of like up for anything. She's 7. She's ADHD, although she finds the chutes and ladders thing very stimulating for some reason. And and my little son is 23 months, and so he just toddles around. And so we have these, you know, experiments or missions, and we do things that are more stimulating. And I think that works better for me. So, for instance, I'm working with a school right now, and I have to build some things to bring to the school. So my daughter helps me. And you know, we'll be making attention talk videos, and I'll say, could we do an experiment together? And that works really well. Or if we go on what I call adventures, where, you know, we're going to ride the train 3 or 4 stops rather than playing trains on the ground.
Yep. Well, go ahead.
I was just going to say that just works better. I can do that, and I enjoy myself, and we interact.
So what I like to describe is, think of it like a Venn diagram. You have your interest and their interest, and you look at where they intersect, and that's the area that you go look at some things, which is very environmental. So what I'm hearing you is, and everybody, we are 2 weeks away from the ADHD Coaches Organization Conference, which is not just for coaches anymore. And she and I are talking about getting together to shoot some videos. And one of the things that I want to do is I want to capture some of the things that she does with her daughter. And that notion between now and then of sitting down with Lucy and talking about storyboarding these things can be creative for her, and it's experiment for you. But the key here is you're coming at it for different reasons, but you're engaged interacting with your daughter, as opposed to just saying, I'm a parent, I'm supposed to sit down and play chutes and ladders or play trains, which is just guilt ridden, as opposed to, wait a second, I got to find that intersection where we can find something we're both engaged. Is that an accurate reflection of what you described?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think some of it is same thing that we, you know, you pay attention to what you're paying attention to. And, you know, when I was trying to, you know, be in the backyard or go to the park and just play the same tag game for hours. I just couldn't do it. And I found, just like your client, I would be up out of my chair. I'd be washing the windows in the back of the house. I would be, you know, weeding anything.
Yep.
But just to play. And I really, it took me years to recognize that this was why. But then I figured out that you can do things, you just have to reframe it. So here's another example. I wanted to make sure I spent time with my daughter. I work and I'm, you know, crazy busy like everyone. And so I sent her to a co-op preschool. And so I worked in the classroom every 22 days or something, and I was in the school regularly. And so we had crafts we did in the school with, you know, the other 12 kids or whatever. I could do that, and I found it stimulating, somewhat overwhelming, but I found that was something that allowed me to make sure I engaged with her and I was really in her world, versus if I had said, I'm going to do crafts with her at our kitchen table. Because what ends up happening is I'm there washing the windows and scrubbing the floors because I find it so boring.
I also, is it the fact that you just did it every 22 days with a group of people more novel than having to do it like once a week or every day?
Yeah, it was absolutely social. I got to see and work with other kids. It, you know, she acted like I was a rock star when you walk in because the kid loves to have their mom.
Yep.
And exactly. And I didn't have to plan or organize the crafts and all that kind of stuff. It was stimulating. Same thing with the playground now. I don't go to the playground by myself. It's just too boring with my kids. I go with other people because then it's a social event. And then I kind of turn on.
Yep. And so just imagine if you're listening to this and you have a preschooler and you're like maybe a stay-at-home mom or stay-at-home dad, and you go there and you find yourself like wanting to sit and engage yourself reading a book or studying something while your kid's on the slide and they're going, hey, push me, push me, push me. And it's you can't really read a book and do that at the same time. But as a metaphor, if you can identify with that anxiety of – okay, I can do this for a little bit, but I there's this pull. I got like this itch. I got a scratch that I got to get stimulated somehow. If that speaks to you, we're speaking to you that you're not alone. There's like, I don't know, 10 million parents out there with ADHD that are kind of feeling that way. And don't beat yourself up. Get creative and try to come up with some creative ideas that you can engage. And we've talked about some of that stuff here. Caroline, I want to shift gears a little bit, and I want to tell a story, and I don't think I've told you this, and I want to kind of get your reaction. Years ago, I think 3 years ago, I was somewhere at a conference, and a woman came up to me. I was talking to her, and she was a stay-at-home mom, and we were talking about addiction or something, and she actually acknowledged that she was a stay-at-home mom, and basically what she was, in a nutshell, she was self-medicating with alcohol during the day so that she could actually sit down on the carpet. And this was the dark side that was interesting to me because she lived very up north, and so it was dark in the wintertime. And literally, if she drank, then she could just sit there and be with the kids. Of course, she wasn't really engaging with them, and she felt horrible. But at one point in time, she was motivated to stand up and say, this is my experience. I want you to learn from some of this stuff. And she ended up not coming on the show. She ended up not coming to get an interview because she was afraid somebody would recognize her voice. But it's interesting to me because I wanted to do the show because it was a lived experience and it was so truthful and real that it was interesting. And can you see how in the wrong environment, maybe in a rural area where you don't have as many resources, that something like that could happen?
Sure. I mean, I think that self-medication and that dark side is probably more rampant. And I think self-medication, I mean, we've talked about this before, but just to frame it for the listeners, self-medication can take many forms, right? I know moms who over-exercise. I mean, exercise 5-6 hours of the day. And it's a form of self-medication. I can see how you would be in a rural area or in just an area where you're very, very lonely, and that could happen. I think that, you know, a lot of times people are not sure what to do. And also the feelings of self-loathing that come with this fact that you have this itch, that you have this intention, and the intention is, I'm going to sit down on the ground with my kids, or I'm going to engage with them, or I'm going to get home from my, you know, shift or my work, and I'm going to be with them. And your intention is very good. Your love for your kids is very great. But the fact is, you can't really do it, because 2 seconds in, you are just drawn away. And so I think that it's better to talk about it and have folks know that, you know, every mother I talk to, knowing this show is coming, who has ADHD, and some who don't, by the way, said this is absolutely their experience. And a lot of them were saying, you know, they do different things. I actually talk to my kids about my ADHD a lot, because my daughter has it. And I've explained to her that, like, I just get really distracted, and I'm sorry, but we do better when we do this. And, you know, I think it's amazing, because kids are so smart. And, you know, my daughter once said to me, "You're just not a board game person, Mom." You know, and so it's like, we also have these fears as parents that if we tell our kids, you know, and we want to frame it so that they're not the culprit, but we say, look, this is how things manifest for me. You'd be surprised, because, you know, I think they sometimes, that's all they want is to be with you. So if you're doing something like bike riding rather than board games, you know, they're going to be okay with that. I always think it's funny, because I explain to my daughter and she'll say to me, you know, I understand, and I don't follow directions, so I'm actually horrendous at crafts. So it's really much better that we don't.
Yep. Touche. Well, I tell you what, I want to run to a break real quick and kind of continue this conversation. Again, I want everybody to know the purpose tonight is, if you feel this way, know that you're not alone. And to spark your creativity, to say, listen, I'm just because I'm bouncing off the carpet, or I'm washing the windows, or my kids are doing things, there's nothing wrong with you. But, like, hey, wait a second. There's a different way of kind of going about this. We need to begin to look at what your kids' interests are, what yours are, and how you can kind of combine that to come together. And so a reminder, everybody, learn more about Caroline by going to necoaching.com. And I lost my notes. I want to make sure I got that right. Yep, necoaching.com. We'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution, misunderstand attention, and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. We're back with Caroline McGuire on Attention Talk Radio, and we're trying to meet ADHD parents where they are, in that space where there's stress and there's boredom and their ADHD is having a hard time living the Martha Stewart dream, if you will. And we've covered some really interesting territory. In the last segment, Caroline, you talked about snow days, and there's a topic that I want to kind of cover and really kind of acknowledge is that when I was a child, I remember going on car drives in Virginia and New Jersey and Maryland, like 3 or 4 hours. And my brother and I were in the back seat. Stop touching me. I mean, there's this fight would ensue. And I remember my mother would prepare for the trip, but every 30 minutes, we would get a new, like, kind of like toy from like the dollar toy to kind of like engage us for a period of time to kind of extend our attention. And I just remember the frustration and the fights and the boredom that we kind of go on. Now, I know I drive from Tampa to Virginia to see my parents. It's a 14-hour drive, and I got a MiFi, so everybody's on the internet. It's like everybody's like quiet in a dream and contained. And I'm saying this because electronics become such a pacifier. And for many that I've coached where they have kids and they feel horrible because so often they find themselves allowing their kids to spend more screen time than what they want because it's either A, they can engage themselves in a executive functioning thing that requires a lot of effort, or two, it allows them to go pursue their interests. And this is another area of real difficulty because they feel bad, but at the same time, it's that urge is like, oh, they're occupied and they're happy. Now I can kind of engage. And I think this is some tough space. So what are your thoughts just in general on this? Do you see this dilemma a lot and parents beating themselves up over it?
I absolutely see this dilemma a lot. I have a lot of parents also who tell me that they lose track of time. So, you tell the kid you only get a half an hour or you're only going to be, on this iPad till we reach, the outskirts of such and such a city. And then, we lose track of time. We're not great with time. And the other thing that I notice is that, kids are tough, right? So a lot [S2] Yep. [S1] Of times, if you have ADHD kids and they're, difficult in the car and sometimes even unsafe at times, and they are occupied, you do let it go. And I think a lot of the clients I work with feel very, very guilty about it. And they also feel that it becomes, a battle royale with the kids. And, I think you sometimes need to focus and concentrate on, like you said, top executive function tasks. And also as parents, we juggle a lot. So, I know I had a client who was trying to potty train one of her kids, and the older one was sort of like obsessed with Minecraft, and she was trying to monitor his screen time, but the battles that would break out when you say, oh, no more screen time, and, mm-hmm. Then she's dealing with the other kid who's like, got to go to the bathroom, and, she was so hard on herself, and I said, how long do you think it'll take your daughter to potty train? And she was pretty optimistic. And I said, so if this period of hardship goes on, it's going to go on for like 2 more weeks. And when your kid is 45 years old, he won't remember this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I think that's kind of what I always try to talk to parents about. Like, I try to reframe things, and I try to sort of like every Monday morning I reboot and I think about like, okay, what's been happening here? And it is hard because the screens do occupy them. But also, I know I had one kid who used to sneak in to his parents' bedroom, take the iPad, and then he had a way like he could basically hack around the system that limited the time. So, I mean, mm-hmm. we're up against it. So I think it's like, I do think it's hard, and I think we have to try, but we have to also give ourselves a break.
And I want to reiterate to everybody, if you're listening to this show and you're like, okay, great, great, blah, 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 what are the solutions? The key really here is the awareness is that you're not alone. And that you back up a little bit and begin to be aware of your behavior. Because what's been amazing to me is the more you're aware and the more I can explain valid reasons to people why they do what they do, it takes the pressure off and that creative mind comes in. And a lot of times they'll become to find up creative solutions on their own just because they realize that they're not broken. This is actually pretty normal, at least for this particular crowd. And I get them out of that mindset of, I just have to do it this way. And
right.
I want to reiterate this show. That's our goal, is to help you identify out there and maybe go talk to other people with ADHD with parents. Because at the end of the day, the thing that I want to emphasize is waking up and doing diapers and doing formula and putting backpacks together and sitting with kids that are learning how to spell and doing flashcards and loading them up and driving carpool and dealing with snow days and arranging play dates. There's nothing inherently exciting about any of that stuff. And if you've got ADHD, it's exceptionally hard for you to engage your attention in that. And the things that you're actually doing, it's amazing feat when you consider what many moms and stay-at-home dads are able to accomplish. And so with that behind you, begin to look at what works for you and capitalize on some of that stuff. And don't put yourself in a situation where you're going to be with your kid, like have an expectation of, I've got a whole day I got to hang out with them on the playground, because somebody's going to come out crying and it's probably going to be you, not the kid.
Yeah. And I think there's also the banishing of the shoulds, you know, because
yes,
there's somebody else in your town who sits on the ground and plays Legos for hours and hours. And that's great. But I always say this, I have a good story for this. I had a client and she would always talk about all the things she should be doing like this. And she told me this beautiful story about how she would meet her daughter at the bus with a kite, and they would go and they would fly the kite. And I sort of said to her, wait, I want to stop you for a second. You tell me all the things you do wrong because of your ADHD. Let me just share with you, that's amazing. And someday your daughter will remember that this amazing mom met her with a kite and flew a kite in the afternoon, not, you know, that you weren't a person who wanted to play chutes and ladders. So I think, you know, we have to look at what can we do, because all our job is to engage with them. And I think, you know, a lot of the stuff we have to do, it's boring. But maybe if we make it a game, you know, for instance, I had a recent thing with my daughter's reading log. You have to keep track and make sure they're writing in it. And reading logs are just like the bane of every parent's existence. And, you know, I just realized that we have to make this a game, because keeping track and focusing on your reading log is just too boring for words. So we made a chart, we made a game, we're having a contest, because otherwise, I forget, or it just doesn't interest me.
I really want to stop and acknowledge that flying the kite is different, and it's those things that will stand out in a kid's mind, because it's an exception, it's special, it's memorable, that even if it's just, I'm going to teach you how to fly a kite, and then I'm going to teach you how to do this, you're kind of engaged. And I think that those types of things will stand out long-term with kids. And
yep.
I think, Caroline, by bringing that up, there's been a lot of kind of caught me flat-footed right here, because there's a big deal. I'm trying to remember some stories of some times where I was coaching some parents and they were kind of caught up in something. I'm like, your kid's not going to remember that. They're going to remember this other thing. And something like flying a kite will stand out, as opposed to playing chutes and ladders or Monopoly for the 5,000th time. That creativeness and kind of getting out there.
Yeah. And I would say too, Jeff, the kite story just stood out to me, because I could like picture the red kite in the sky,
mm-hmm.
you know? But I have another one. I had a mother who couldn't really, you know, do the thing. She felt that she should do this, she should do that. And she and her son would plan these elaborate birthday parties, and they would plan them like all year, and they would brainstorm, and they would like make a Harry Potter party to end all Harry Potter parties, you know? And like,
mm-hmm.
they would be those people that you see on Pinterest that you think, who makes horses to a story party? Those are those people. And it was the same thing. That mother may not have sat on the floor and played Legos, But like the mother with the kite, she spent an entire year creating, you know,
yep.
the Great Balls Bank and creating so that every kid would get like a little cape when they came in.
Yep.
And, you know, to me, those are the things that stand out. Those are the things they're going to tell their college roommates. And that's a different way of doing things that is a reframing. So what can you do would be the question. You know, maybe you're not going to play chutes and ladders. Boy, we're beating up on poor chutes and ladders a lot. Maybe you're not going to play Candyland. You're not going to play Candyland or, you know, Hi-Ho Cheerio is one of my other ones.
Yep.
But you're going to do the Harry Potter party. And that's, it was like literally magnificent.
This is a related story, but it's not. So, my older son was about 13 many years ago. He's in college now. And I was an active dad. I like to do some stuff. And I'm like, hey, let's go some cycling. And I say this story because we were going on vacation into the Keys, and I wanted to have this activity because my son's very social and I'm more athletic and stuff like that. But I'm going to kind of cut to the chase. Is we embarked on this thing, and before we knew it, we made the decision that we were going to ride the Keys in a day. Now, we were staying in Marathon. We had rented a house, which is in the middle of the Keys. And so the plan, and I had one friend do this. The plan was we were going to wake up one day. My wife was going to drive my son, myself, and my friend up to mile marker 110, which is when you come right over, it's like in Key Largo. There's a Shell station there. And we were going to leave. And we were going to ride and stop a few miles later in Marathon, have lunch, leave, and finish our ride to Key West. And then my wife and my younger son and this other daughter would meet us there. And it's funny because this was a big event that we had kind of put together that was like, it was kind of funny. And the preparation and doing this, I like doing that. And my son, he liked it. But what's interesting right now, he's in college and he reflects back on that and like, it stands out in his mind. I mean, it's an event. We rode 110 miles in a day. We ended up in Key West. We go to Sloppy Joe's. We have a couple burgers and stuff like that. After riding 100 miles, you're like starving. And it really sticks out in his mind. And it's amazing to me how much he remembers that. And we'll talk about it as compared to some more mundane things. And for me, it was just, this is just amazing. It was kind of stimulating. And I'm saying this because of the parents out there. We've talked about experiments and we've talked about riding the Keys and we've talked about these kites and stuff that would stand out. Focus on that stuff as a parent, because I think you can kind of connect with your kids. And so with that, we need to wrap this up, but Caroline, before we do, any final comments?
Just let yourself off the hook and banish the shoulds. If you're doing something, that's what matters. And, you know, I think if you're riding, I'm never going to ride 100 miles, by the way, Jeff. If you're riding 100 miles or you're planning a Harry Potter party or maybe just flying a kite, make a sandcastle contest, whatever it is, it's just so much more important than, you know, whether or not you did every single thing that you think you should do. Banish the shoulds.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And with that, you crushed it with that final note. So everybody, learn more about Caroline McGuire by going to necoaching.com. And with that, Caroline, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Everybody, we hope you've enjoyed this. Take the guilt off, banish the shoulds, and catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.